I'd like to call the Order of the Program Projects and Operations Subcommittee meeting April 9th, 2019, 6:30 p.m. Before we start, I'd like to read the Open Meetings Act. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised Statute, State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I'd like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. We ask that the public not interrupt the directors discussing action. Thank you. Roll call.
Fowler?
Here.
Jeff?
Here.
Kaczynski?
Here.
Beezer?
Here.
Here. Item number four, adoption of agenda.
So move.
Got a motion?
Second.
Second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Beezer?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
And Chair? Aye. Proof of publication of tonight's meeting, which will become part of the permanent record. Item number six, review and recommendation of bids for Big Papio Creek Levee Culverts Project Phase 2, Martin Cleveland.
Thank you. Tonight, with me will be Lindy Rogers from FIRA, helping out with any questions that you may have regarding these bids. What I might first do is go to the maps, Bill, at the very end of the presentation. The district has an ongoing program of inspecting culverts through levees the district owns, and including the Big Papio, Little Papio, and various other projects, but in this process of inspecting these pipes and cleaning these pipes, we discover that there's pipes that have deficiencies, such as perforations in the bottom of the pipe, joints that are open, other issues that could lead to the levee failing over time. And so this particular project is phase two. We did phase one about 2 years ago, and that was what, 12 pipes?
13
pipes. This project's actually 17 pipes. They're located in Sarpy and Douglas County. First of all, this first sheet shows some that are located in Sarpy County. If it's going to work. Anyway, Cornerstone Road is down below that map of Nebraska, and then at the lower end is, if you scroll up a little bit, Bill, is, I believe, well, this is the second map. So most pipes are actually in this, the second map, but this is in Omaha, primarily in Omaha. You see Q Street, I-80. And so they're scattered throughout the district's project area, and these projects, Big Papio is probably the oldest project district has, except for Little Papio. It's the oldest non-federal project. And so over time, being 30-year-old pipes or 40-year-old pipes, a lot of them have come to, unfortunately, to the point where they need to be repaired. The repair process actually is lining these pipes typically with polyethylene pipe or using centrifugal concrete lining. Either one to basically build a pipe inside the pipe to give you a life and hopefully maybe 50 years, whatever lifespan, add on to the structure life. Without that, whatever happens to this pipe would eventually lead to the levee failure, probably, because it's basically a hole through your pipe, through your levee. If this hole is deficient, then you have a major problem with your levee. So it's incumbent upon us to try to repair these structures so we get back to what's considered to be an adequate structure from the standpoint of levee safety. If you go back to the memo, Bill. District open bids. Back to memo myself here. opened bids in March and received two bids ranging from $3.1 million to $3.8 million. They were opened on March 28th. Lowest bid was $3.146,227.15 submitted by Graham Construction. The engineer's estimate for this project was actually $2.5 million roughly. There is an engineer's recommendation letter that's included with this memo that's following. Let me go to the recommendation memo, Bill. I think some of what's going on here with this project, just as a side note, it's obviously higher than the engineer's estimate, and Linda can add to this mixture, but basically the March flood of 2019 just hammered us on the bids. At the time we bid the project, course, the flood had already occurred or already started. And so all these bidders knew that they had a lot of work out there probably for the next couple of years. And so there's not really as big a demand probably for the work because they already had work lined up or they knew work was going to be coming down the road. I might have Lindy add a little bit to her recommendation letter that she wrote on behalf of FIRA.
Sure. So on top of, as Martin mentioned, the amount of work that these contractors have in front of them because of the flooding, there's also been a huge increase in construction costs for materials. Specifically, riprap is the biggest one, so it's really hard to get right now. They're having distribution problems because the railroads aren't working. So the cost of that has almost doubled since what we saw our previous levy project bid on. So right now that we're seeing it going for $90 a ton versus $45 to $50, what we had seen before the flood happened. So I think on this particular project, when we looked at where the deviances lie, it was in the mobilization cost. So our unit costs that we had matched pretty well with what Graham had in line. And I think they had their bid done early because I've been speaking to them throughout this entire project process, and they kind of talked to me the week before and said they were pretty much finished with it. And then the flood hit, and I think instead of adjusting their unit prices like Valley did, they adjusted the mobilization cost. So it's unfortunate that that happened, but that's kind of what I saw when I started comparing unit prices compared to what the engineer's estimate we expected them to be. I did have several contractors contact me. The contractor who worked on this last project for us, Nelson and Rock, contacted me afterwards and said that they're just swamped with flood work. They would have liked to have bid it, but there's no way they can commit to it. And then I had several other contractors tell me the same thing. Just because the amount of work out there, they just don't think it's going to work with their schedules right now.
Be happy to answer any questions you may have. That's kind of a general overview from Wendy and I.
I guess one more thing I should have added is that we discussed this, the staff and I discussed this about holding off and maybe possibly rebidding this. And I do think that since we did this, the prices have even gone up higher because everybody has really been hit in the face with the shortage of materials around here. So I don't think that would have produced any lower bids probably for the next 6 months to a year.
How desperate are we to get the project done? I mean, can these culverts hold out for another 2 or 3 or 4 years?
I don't believe so. I mean, I've seen the videos for these pipes, and they're in bad shape.
How old are the pipes?
They're probably typically 30 to 40 years old. They could be older than that. Some date back to the start of the project, which basically started in the 60s, late 60s. They started working on this project, so you do the math, it's 50 years old in some cases. the pipes, there was more pipes than this that we probably needed to eventually renovate. But these are the ones that are critical in nature, and really where it puts us in a poor position is if we have a levee failure that occurs at those particular pipes, we can easily get sued by the public saying, you didn't fix this pipe, you knew about it, didn't fix it. The other thing, too, that puts us in jeopardy is if the Corps inspects this project, we're probably really at the cusp of being kicked out of the program because we don't have an acceptable project because these are deficient pipes.
Kicked out of what program?
The cost share program the Corps provides. It's called Public Law 8499. Basically, during a flood event like this occurred in March, they provide 80% of the cost of repairing a project if it fails due to non-current existing problems. So if it overtops, levee washes out, they help us repair it. 80% cost share of their money, 80%, 20%. If there's a deficiency that's already known, such as a pipe that's already bad, and it fails there, then they didn't cover none of those costs. So
we conclude that these pipes are bad already. They're already qualified as bad.
These are very deficient pipes. In other words, they're full from the bottom, open joints.
Material is definitely moving underneath some of them, so we're actually grouting underneath some of them to refill that embankment.
So they're already qualified as defective.
Correct.
Right. We're actually losing probably part of the levee embankment underneath these levees, underneath these pipes, because they're so perforated. And so it's the kind of thing where, unfortunately, it takes a long time to ramp up on construction and design. We've been waiting a year for Corps approval on this. We actually bid the plans last April. So every month that goes past makes me more and more nervous because I know we have flood events that occur throughout the year. And anytime a levee's under pressure due to the flood, that's when it's likely going to fail. Not now during dry conditions, it'll be probably fine. But during a flood event, you pressurize that whole system. and all of a sudden that pipe's going to blow out on you and you have a real problem. So it's sooner we get it fixed, the better off we are from the liability standpoint for the district. So we have an ongoing project, you know, process. We have other pipes and other projects we need to do too. This is most crucial ones right now. This project is probably Low Papio. That's in Omaha. We have a bunch of pipes that are in poor condition, but that's a channel. It's not a levee, so it's not as quite as crucial. But that's the next thing you'll see eventually. It'll be a probably a proposal to design those rehab projects. So it's an ongoing thing where our projects are wearing out. You know, basically like roads that have potholes. You got to constantly work at filling potholes and replacing the culverts. Otherwise, you have problems with the you know, project failing. So I feel real confident we need to get these done after seeing the videos and after analysis by fire. They're in poor condition, to say the least.
Before we have any more questions from the directors, can we have a motion?
Yes, sir. I make a motion that we adopt staff recommendation. Hey, I've been in the thick of this slug. Right now, I'm paying $165 an hour for a dump truck and a driver, not including material. $165 an hour just to get material to do flood repairs.
We got a motion, but we don't have a second. Before any other questions, is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak to this item? Directors?
How long do these repairs last, Martin?
We're allowed to make the actual contract for a year, but there's 165
working days.
So once he starts work, or he or she starts work, they got 165 days to complete the work. So we did the year cycle because we knew that it affects a bid a lot. If we make it a real short cycle time, they bid even more money. We've discovered that through phase one that they bid twice as much. So we try to give them enough time so they can schedule this work. Yeah, once they start working on them, get in there and get out. Don't be monkeying around for a whole year.
But how long does the repair last once it's completed?
The design life, so on the ones that are slipped with HDPE, it's at least 50 years. It hasn't been used for longer than 50 years, but they think it could be 50 to 75 years on a lot of these. And then on the ones that are CCCP, they're saying anywhere between 30 and 50 years. Again, these are
centrically cast concrete.
Yeah, so it's like a sprinkler goes in. It's a fiber mesh concrete that sprays around it.
Okay.
And we're using that one on the ones that have like broke backs where you can't use a slip lining method.
Most of these pipes were corrugated steel to start with, and so the galvanizing over time wears out, and then eventually rust. It's kind of like your car. If it gets a lot of salt on it, eventually rusts. And it's always the bottom of the pipe. The rest of the pipe is maybe okay, but the bottom just rusts out, like maybe in some cases totally gone because the salt has attacked the invert of the pipe. And so, but it's typically because there are metal pipes to start with.
Mm-hmm. Director Fowler?
Martin, I have a question. It's more for staff. Is kind of loose to what Ted was just talking about is, are we prioritizing the impacts right now? Because this flood thing is going to continue for a long time on resources, manpower, and what are our priorities as a NRD that we need to tackle first before the latter ones? Because, well, we could have a blowout on a levee, which is really important. Vice, you said channel. And are we internally, are we doing that right now? So when we as directors vote on these things, we're going, hey, we got a great pecking order. We have a good plan of attack.
You know, I mean, we're prioritizing the things that need to be taken care of immediately. For example, the bridges.
Yeah, exactly. Near term, but
we don't even have a full assessment yet of the damages of the levee systems yet. And so that will be coming. But, for example, we've got wreck areas that are completely decimated that we won't be able to get to for a while. And we've got trails and all those other things. So we're taking care of the things that protect, obviously, people and property first. Then we'll come back and we'll do the other things later or as we can get to them. It's not going to be a pleasant budget year, I can tell you that already.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be difficult. So
I just want to make sure that we are
we're doing that well here as
a group.
And we'll share that with the board as we prioritize and say why did we prioritize and why we're doing what we're doing. So.
Okay. Next question. Graham, I hear they're 16, 13. Have we used them before? For some reason, I'm drawing a blank on them. Have we used them?
Not that we're of. They're a big company. They're like a national company, but we haven't use them locally.
We awarded the Missouri River Levy contractor.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, if they got the resources, you get done. Now let's go.
They do have the resources. I did a lot of, because that was a concern when we bid the levy or gave them the levy project because nobody had ever worked with them before. So they did some levy work out in Blair. I talked to Al Shoemaker, the public works director. He had nothing but great things to say about them.
Okay.
And then I spoke to him. They gave me some references that I contacted. They all had great things to say about them. Efficient, good work.
Are you through, Director Powell?
I'm done.
Okay.
You had mentioned earlier, just help me out with the Army Corps of Engineers, because I think you said you're waiting for some kind of approval from them for a year. What is that?
There's a process called Section 408. Where
they're doing the 408.
Plans. It's a modification of the project. And so they've got a backlog of things to review, which is a lot of the reason why it takes so long, but it just takes a long time to get through the process.
So this whole thing is part of a 408 process?
It is. Okay. We're modifying a project. We're modifying a project by putting new pipes in it, even though intuitively putting a new pipe in is like the same thing we already have in it, but
right.
They call it a modification of a project, therefore right. Requires their approval.
So do we know how close they are to having this approval? And do we need it to get the 80-20? Or to maintain the 80-20. I'm just looking for clarification.
That's why we do the 4-8 process. If we don't do that, they could say you don't get any money.
You're out to begin.
You don't get it properly. Okay. So that's the key, is having a review of these projects.
But we don't know what the timeline is. Excuse me. We don't know what the timeline is.
We had actually the first review went through, and we've now responded to all their comments. This is about a month ago. So we anticipate real soon having that approval. We have a 60-day window on this bid approval. In other words, we won't give notice to proceed to the contractor until we actually have that in hand from the Corps. But we expect that real soon.
So it's 60 days out before we can start?
60 days out before that bid expires. The bid's actually valid for 60 days. And so that allows us to have some time to get this thing from the Corps. We're trying to keep this process moving because every time we wait another month, it takes another month longer to get things done.
But you expect things to flow from one to the other, from the Corps approval right in.
Right, we do. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That helped me understand a little bit on the material. Galvanized steel pipe, or what's the material for the pipe that we're talking about?
Well, the hose pipe, in most cases, the original pipe is galvanized steel. What we're putting in is actually it's polyethylene. It's a plastic pipe.
Okay.
We're sleeving the existing pipe, or we're putting a centrifugal applied concrete lining in on the hose pipe. So the metal pipe actually stays in place. We're not getting rid of that. We're basically just shoving a new pipe inside of it, routed between the two, so they're like one composite pipe, like a composite structure. And so that's really what the process consists of. And it's been used, we've used it 2 years ago, and it's a good project, good process. I think it probably will last much longer, 50 years, because plastic, as you know, seems to last forever. Unless you burn it, it seems to last forever. So there's a long lifespan behind plastic compared to metal that's going to rust away.
Okay, because what I was getting at, and I was worried about, wondering about the price of steel right now, and if all the material short, high demand, price goes up on top of the tariffs. We were talking about from last year. Wow.
It's probably affected prices of a lot of things, the tariff things, whether steel or plastic even. But there's no way to assess how much that is.
Thank you.
When do you think this project is supposed to start? What, roughly?
I've spoken to the Graham just to get an idea. Right now, their plan is to start it in August because they have a big time. They only have 165 days to do all the work, and part of the work has to be done during low flow seasons because there's a removal and replacement on the pipes. So they want to keep that going through there.
Okay. Well, my question, I'm kind of like Director Fowler. Are we pushed for that much time that we can maybe kind of hold our horses for a little while to see where our budgets are going to be in another month? I mean, are we committed? What's our commitment to this if we say yes?
Once you sign a contract, of course, you're committed to pay the contractor, but I think we have a real responsibility because of the Corps inspections. We know there's deficiencies out there. They know there's deficiencies. If we don't fix it, we've got a problem with, first of all, it's liability, because what happens if we get flood event, again, like I talked about, the public will go and look at the Corps records and see that we had deficient pipes and say, why didn't you fix them? Why did you wait 2 years to fix them? And it's hard to defend that in court, I think, when you have things on record that says you have deficiencies, we know about it. We don't actually take care of it. I think there's a risk to the district not to take care of that. So I think even though I hate to pay you extra money for work, because, it's timing. The Corps would approve this last fall, we'd had a lower price, but, I can't reverse the clock and go back pre-flood. So I think you really... We need to just accept it and just move on, unfortunately. Because
well, it's not really starting till August anyway. So, I mean, what's a few weeks here if we say, well, let's just check to see, let Mr. Winkler have some time to figure out what all our other costs are going to be for everything else. Because what happens if we hit a shortfall on something that comes up that we're trying to fix right now from the flood?
These have to be fixed, and if we wait, if we pass on this, we're going to have to rebid, and we're not going to get even close to this. I mean, the environment is such that, I mean, we paid we paid $1 million to fix a hole in a levee. So this is not going to get cheaper. It's not going to get cheaper for the next 2 or 3 years. So this is as good as it's going to get, and we could wait, if we wait 30 days, 60 days, whatever, it's just going to get worse.
Okay.
And we have an obligation to fix. We have to. This is a priority. We have to fix these. So, I mean, there's no two ways about it. So.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Kaczynski?
Yes.
Peter?
Yes.
Bauer?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
And Jefferson?
Hi. Thank you.
Item
number 7. Review and recommendation of Nebraska Machinery Company, CAT Financial Governmental Lease Purchase Agreement. Zach Houses.
Good evening. When the district opened Cranbrook Lake in Dakota County with the Game and Parks back in 2014, part of the interlocal agreement was we had to provide the Game and Parks with a number of different pieces of equipment to maintain the park, one of which was a skid steer. So we have that obligation to the Game and Parks to provide that piece of equipment. Since then, the district has utilized the program through Nebraska Machinery and CAT Financial, which works similar to almost leasing a car. We can go use a piece of equipment for 12 months, put 250 hours on it, and pay a net rate of $5,500. At the end of that 12 months, then CAT repurchases the piece of equipment and takes ownership of it, allows us then to swap out another piece of equipment. Our Walt Hill area office has a lot of demand for pieces of equipment for not only maintaining the dams and levee structures in that area, but as well as installing rural water mains. Something that we started doing in the last 3 years was self-performing a lot of rural water main installation ourselves. And the reason for that is it allows us to control the schedule as well as get the installation done for a lot cheaper cost. Due to the location of that Walt Hill office, it's really hard to get maintenance done on pieces of equipment. So as a result, we don't have the resources here at the shop down here. We have a large shop, have access to a lot of tools, equipment, can pop over to Nebraska Machinery really quickly. And Walt Hill, if you have something that breaks, I mean, it could take days, if not weeks, to get fixed. So part of this program, I think it really works well for us because not only is it a low cost, but it allows us to kind of defer and not have to take care of some of the maintenance as if we had owned the actual piece of equipment outright. So what I'm proposing is, per our agreement with the Game of Parks, we provide a skid steer to Cranbrook Lake and then a skid steer and mini excavator to the Walt Hill office. The net cost each piece of equipment is $5,500 for a total of $16,500. And for reference to, this is significantly cheaper than if you were to go into, let's say, a CAT dealership or other dealership and say, hey, or United Rentals and say, I want to rent this piece of equipment for 2 or 3 months. Most of the time you'd pay over $5,500 just for 3 months. So it's an idea we got from Thurston County utilizes a program like this, as well as I believe Burke County and some other counties do.
Thanks, Zach. Can we have a motion?
Motion to accept staff recommendations.
A motion?
Second.
Does anyone from the public wish to speak to this item? Directors?
I have one quick question. This is new equipment.
Correct. Yep. So as part of it, you get a new piece of equipment every year.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Beezer?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Kaczynski?
Yes.
Hi. Thanks, Zach. Item number 8, review and recommendation of vote on local disaster emergency declaration.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the emergency declaration we issued on the 21st of March On the 19th of March, I contacted the four officers of the board, including the assistant treasurer, Director Fowler, and then I needed another names for the six directors for the authorization called by the policy. And I just talked to Director Sapinski probably a few hours or day before that. So I contacted him per direction of legal counsel, since Jim Thompson was a signatory of the declaration as chairman. They requested that I contact one more, and I contacted Mr. McCormick, or Director McCormick, with full intent, as this policy says, to consult all the available directors. But I had the six names I needed for the emergency declaration for it to be signed and sent to NEMA, so we could be eligible for disaster assistance. As you can imagine, on that, during that time, we were pulled in probably 100 different directions, from calls from the media to the governors to senators to staff to directors to whatever. And in my area, I did not contact the other four directors until it was brought to my attention by Director Weiss and Director Japp and Director Begley. And so I contacted them on the 21st. I talked to Director Japp at 4:30, Director Weiss at 4:40. Director Begley at 4:45. I called Director Grunwald at 4:59 to leave a message, and I did not return a call. So I called them, indicated, hey, my error. I didn't consult with all 11 directors. I had the policy before me, and I wanted to make sure that we got it signed, we got it in according to the requirements by NEMA and FEMA to do that. Realizing this was an administrative clerical action, but I understand the board's and the directors that I talked to, their feelings that, hey, they didn't want to be left out of something that would show that they supported the emergency declaration. And so I totally agreed with that. Apologized profusely for not consulting them on that date, on the 19th. So what we did is we put this together, a resolution Brent did, that the PPO chairman can read and take a public vote. It's not required by the policy. It's not required by statute. We thought it gives the directors a very public process to say, yes, they supported the district's action during this emergency situation. And so Director Connolly can read it. Marlon also has some pictures of the various issues that we've been faced with, that we've repaired, and that we're continuing to address, and he'd like to show you those after you adopt the resolution, if that's so what you choose to do. And I'd be happy to answer any questions, or if you have any comments, I'd be more than happy to address them.
Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak to this item? I saw the board there. I don't know if I need to read it. You have it in your packet. I can read
it. I can read it if you'd like. If
you want to read it? The director's going to read it? Okay. Good. I don't think they want it. We can have a motion, I guess.
A motion for staff recommendation.
Second. Directors, any?
Not against this. I just wanted to let everybody know I did send an email out at 6:08 this evening requesting that we have this discussion. This is a policy level discussion, okay? And I requested of the chairman that we have a board meet added to the agenda. The failure to follow board policy 15.4 on March 21st, and then on what were the emergency declaration funds spent. And I'd like that to happen before we have any vote about on the agenda, any vote about the emergency declaration. So,
Director Thompson, did you see my response?
I haven't yet.
My response was basically no, because it's right now on the agenda, so it'll be brought forward on
against
Thursday.
I appreciate where you're coming from.
Will you please let me finish? Okay. Because the subcommittee meets, it's on the subcommittee agenda. Assuming it gets out of subcommittee, even if it doesn't, but it likely will, we will discuss this on Thursday as a full board.
I made my request, sir.
So, it's denied. So,
also, per policy, the expenditures are on the general manager's report. There's no action, but we will report those. Legal counsel has assisted us with putting those together. So those will be presented to the board at that time, and you can, again, ask any questions. There's no requirement that you ratify those or approve those, but those are presented for policy. So,
any Any other discussion from directors?
I had a question. This, it's a legal question more than anything, because I don't know. If any policy within the NRD is not followed as it should be followed, does the resulting action, is it still count? In other words, if you didn't follow the policy 15.4 as it says you should follow it, is the resulting action still valid?
The emergency declaration came for the statute. Policy as far as waiving the requirements, which is what really 15.4.4. I think it would be valid if it's false. I guess I don't understand what part of the policy.
Well, it says you have to contact all available directors, and that wasn't done. Yet we continued with the whole thing going through the emergency procedure, and yet we didn't follow the director policy as stated in the manual. Can you continue with an emergency declaration when the policy wasn't followed properly? Is it still a valid policy? Is it still a valid outcome from not following the policy? And at what point does it affect that? If this doesn't affect that, then what would affect that?
Well, I think this vote ratifying the declaration.
But that's after the fact. And a lot of action has happened in the meantime, correct?
Correct.
I'm not saying it's bad what happened, but
right.
I'm just saying,
right.
Is there a legal problem with the fact that we didn't follow the policies and we went ahead and did it anyway, and we... bought a bunch of stuff and whatever we did, and it wasn't.
The intent of the policy is to get a majority of the directors. The only reason we got seven directors is because you indicated. I mean, so you have the majority of the board that approved the ratification of of the way their policy. So any specific part of that, the majority of the board did approve. So I mean, you don't throw out the entire. You've got a majority of the board that approved the actions of the emergency declaration.
But I guess I look forward down the road to saying that we're going to marginalize certain directors by, if all we need is just the majority, we're going to leave the rest of them out. Anytime we need a majority, we're just going to get the majority, and the rest of the guys aren't going to be contacted. I don't like that precedent.
I assure you that I will contact everybody the next emergency.
I'm saying, is it still a valid emergency declaration if the policy is not followed?
The fact that there was seven. Correct.
You can put that in writing? Legal opinion?
Practically speaking,
are you going to put that in writing? Yes.
Reggie Thompson?
I guess I need more information. If you're going to say that it's followed.
Well, it clearly wasn't followed, as it states here, and that was my question. I just don't want it to happen again.
I haven't think generally.
Yeah, I don't want. Yeah, anytime.
I mean, practically speaking, are we going to invalidate?
Well, you certainly can't undo them, I don't think. But that doesn't make them valid, though, either. Does it?
I think they're valid. I mean, nobody's.
Yeah. I don't know who would challenge it.
Right.
Director Thompson.
Yeah, Ted, the intent is not. Let's get a vote of all directors, because conceivably someone could say no, or six could say no, and then what happens? So, and that's why I sent my email saying if there's something in the policy, if it says, and I don't have it in front of me, I should pull up, but if it's, you have it in front of you there or no?
All I got is the 15.4.
Okay, because it's a contact, what's the exact language?
It says after consultation with all available directors.
Available.
And I was available, but I wasn't contacted.
Available is a key word. But he needed to go down the list until he gets six. He took one extra one based on.
But he didn't contact all the available directors. He just contacted six.
But he got enough to get the action going. And that was the main intent.
I think that's where the debate comes in, is the fact that if in the future, if any time he needs. And I'm not bagging on you here, but the point being, anytime you need. Just six, and you leave the rest of them out. I think that's a dangerous and bad precedent.
Well, but it's reality. You can't get unanimous. It doesn't say unanimous.
No, but
and that's not the intent of emergency.
I found out about it when I got the paper saying these directors okayed it. And I hadn't even. What is this? You know, it looks like the other directors didn't okay it, and that's what I didn't like.
But
about
that's
it.
Not real.
No,
that's not the case. So.
And again, it was just for NEMA's
purpose. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
You know, I think we got to cut General Manager a little slack here.
Yeah.
He was up to his ass in alligators, guys. He was being shoved, I mean, between UD, I'm talking to him, and he's getting phone calls in the Elkhorn River and in the Missouri River. Let's cut the guy a little slack here. He said he won't. This won't happen again. I'll take him by his word. He got what he had to get, and then moved on. And then when you know when you gentlemen rightfully contacted him, say, hey, I wasn't contacted. You know, John then contacted you and tried to you know mend fences. But you know this was an emergency, and you know I think I happened to call him, and he asked me. I don't think he called me. I think I called him talking about something. But nonetheless, let's cut him a little slack. I'm sure it won't happen again based off of the response that we're getting here.
Director Weese?
I respect Director Teaser's comments, and I agree with you. But we don't want to start a precedence on right. something. Because a rule's a rule's a rule.
Right.
Otherwise, take it out of that piece of paper.
Yeah.
Okay? It's just like anything else that we do. If there's a protocol, that's why there's a protocol. We follow it. And one of the districts that got flooded the worst was my district. And all of a sudden, am I asleep at the wheel on this? It doesn't show up anywhere on paper that I didn't go out there and look or I didn't do anything. So, it's a concern.
Okay. Well, that's why we have this declaration tonight and Thursday for that day.
So, Brett, this fixes that, right? This puts us all on record saying we want to do this. All right. Thank you.
A couple comments. John did call me, as he said, and I did appreciate that, and I shared that with you. And I also spoke to the directors that weren't called, to Mark, to Ted, and to John. And I shared this with John Winkler. You guys don't have to tell me the crap he was dealing with. I recognize that. But my thought was, number one, and Sean, I'm not piling on you here, but the policies and all that, I need to get onboarded on that with somebody. We talked about that before Mother Nature changed things.
Right.
So I can kind of understand what that policy is. But even with everything that was followed, and I shared this with everybody that I talked to, I would have appreciated a phone call. I don't know if that would have been from you or the chair. Even if it is a courtesy, to me a phone call would have gone a long way to diffuse. And I'm not saying you should have done that or Chairman Thompson. I don't know, and I guess I'll learn that. But I shared that with everybody that I was not happy about that at all, that – you know, this happened and you guys did it and it had to be done, and I get it. And I got to understand the policy better if it was followed. Ted made some good points on that. But that, to me, a phone call would have gone a long way before getting an email saying what the heck is going on.
Right. Well, it was my responsibility to call
you. Is that right,
Chairman? Okay. It's my responsibility to call you. And so, like I said, we thank God we don't do these yearly. And this may have been the second declaration I've done in 13 years, maybe the first. And so this is something that is just isn't a policy that we do. Now, I'm not asking for an excuse. I'm just saying it's just something that it's not something that we do regularly. And so, it slipped my mind. I had all intentions of calling everybody. And then as soon as I got, I think it was Ted's first email, I'm like, oh, crap, I forgot the other four. And so, and it wasn't intentional. It just, you know, hey, it slipped. And so, again, I think that I've got it loud and clear. If there's ever another emergency, I guarantee you, if I stay up till midnight, all 10 of you will be called until I get a hold of somebody. So
that's all I asked, and I think I shared that with you when we talked.
You did, and I.
No, I appreciated the call and the explanation. So,
and I tried to do that for everybody. So.
Can we have one more comment from the directors? Then we're going to move on.
Hello. Okay, I just had a question. How long does the emergency declaration go on? And who decides when it's done?
There's no policy on when it ends. I would think.
Otherwise, we're kind of irrelevant. Aren't we?
No. I mean,
what are we doing here?
Governor's declaration. No.
I thought they had some surprising with that.
Because the governor's declaration just covers when the event started. FEMA FEMA had an end date of April, but that was just for claims, so April 2nd. But then they extended it to May 30th. So I would say probably by the end of May, it would probably be, and we can consult with legal counsel on that. But there's nothing that says when it ends. Obviously, we can't continue. We can't be doing emergency for years. So
who decides when it ends?
I think we would have to bring it to the board. The board could decide when it ended.
We would have to amend the policy if we want to put an end date on it.
Yes. Yeah, there's nothing in the policy that says it.
Well, let's not end it now because we may have another event.
Well, so there's the issue too. Is we're supposed to get additional storms. I mean, and so this may kind of start all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't know when it's going to end.
Yes. So, you next. Go ahead.
Are you sure? Yeah. Okay. All right. In the military world, we call this C3, Command Control Communications. And it's a direct line. And in this particular moment, in a historic moment for Nebraska, things happen on the battlefield. Things happen on the battlefield of what we do here. It happened. And I'm just curious if we could almost change the language in the policy. That word available bothers me from a military standpoint, because when you have your lieutenants in the field, you want to contact each and every one of them to get something done, in this case, a declaration. So available leaves it kind of open. What if we put in something to say we will contact, to the best of our ability, every single one of the directors? You know, we're all busy too, and maybe we don't get it, but at least you made it and you're clocking in. I made the call, left a message, and you're notified, and you get the majority you need, but everyone's notified. And just change the language as such for the future. I have a sneaky suspicion we're going to get something like this again in the future, just to clarify the language so we're all taken care of. I give you a total pass. This was a hell of a moment in time, and you did what you did. And that's all it is. Maybe just, can we clean up that language a little bit, maybe? And that kind of protects us going forward, and we're all happy.
That would be a policy change, and we just follow
the have to bring that up.
Bring it up. Yes.
Okay. I think what you're trying to say is that because it was an emergency, everybody should be involved. It's the way the military approaches it. Is that?
At least what depends on your capacity, but you should at least be notified.
But everybody needs to be involved.
Yeah.
As simple as that. Now, I was a little confused earlier. The vote that Kevin was talking about is to backfill here and to say, hey, we're going to make 15-4 run as it was. Okay. So that means it isn't, we're not up to snuff right now. Because why would we have to backfill if this thing wasn't called correctly?
The intent of the resolution today was to offer a public vote on, there's no requirement that this step takes place. Seven of the directors approved of the emergency declaration. That's a majority of the board of directors. So the other four, obviously, and we discussed this, that we're not contacted. It does not negate anything that's done. This is simply a public statement that this board approved.
Thank you. Again,
of that action.
Mr. Myers, I was asking you exactly. We were not in compliance then, in your opinion.
I didn't get that.
Okay. In your opinion, after what you've just heard, were we in compliance?
I would say that the compliance of six concurring directors signing off on the emergency declaration was followed.
And you
gave the authority to the manager under the 5-year first.
And you're willing to put that in writing? Okay.
Sure.
As in public, as your legal opinion.
Fowler?
Yes.
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 Caesar?
Yes.
Jefferson?
Aye. That's right. Item number 9, review and recommendation of FY 2020 urban cost share programs.
Eric, please.
I'll make sure it's not after midnight.
Good evening, everyone. This is less intense, a little more fun. So. But there are a number of different things here. For new directors, the district each year puts out a call for projects under the Urban Cost Share Program guidelines. We have a total of 8 different programs that provide assistance to cities, counties, agencies of government in order to carry out projects that conserve and protect natural resources and provide recreation opportunities across our entire district. And so each year we ask for approval to include these projects into the budget. And then each of the projects is recommended for approving an amount of funding that we will then review when it comes to budget review time. So This is the list of projects that we received back from the local government partners and the different programs that they've submitted to. The first program is the Urban Conservation Assistance Program. This is for kind of small spot erosion or stream stability types of issues. We received two applications. The first is from the city of Gretna on Beetle Creek, which is in the area of WP8. There have been a couple different developments there over the past couple years, and there has been kind of a significant amount of both channel degradation and bank erosion, and there is a sanitary siphon that has been exposed. So Gretna is asking for assistance to help reshape the bank as they reconstruct the siphon, and we made it clear that we do not provide assistance on sanitary pipes, but we do provide assistance on bank stabilization, and so the cost share request is for the portion of the work that is not the sanitary siphon reconstruction itself. And the request is for $30,000, which is the maximum under this program. The next project is from Sarpy County at the Valley Ridge Outfall. This is also a sanitary sewer exposed condition, and so they are looking to do a sheet pile grade stabilization project to help protect the channel from degrading and reduce the risk of potential future erosion. And keep that public infrastructure in place. In your package, you'll have kind of a picture and some maps and some general information about each of the projects. Let me know if you'd like any more detail on any of these. We can flip to that particular project, but these are the two projects under this program, and we recommend approving both of these projects for the listed amounts to be included into the budget and reviewed subject to budget finance availability for FY 2020.
Can we have staff recommendation on the side?
So moved.
Second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to these items? Directors?
Just one quick question, as always. How do you determine, I mean, somebody wants the estimated cost $200,000, we're going to give them $30,000. Somebody else has a $40,000 cost, we give them $24,000. How is that determined? How
much up to this program is the guideline says 60% of the cost, and so capped at 30,000. So if the project continues to increase, our cap is 30,000.
Okay,
if the project is lower, then it is capped by that 60%. So 60% of 40,000 on the smaller project.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Eric, I got a question. That, well, maybe I'm getting ahead of the horse here. The Dewey Park.
So,
are you going to that?
Just for clarification, we usually do
Each
program independently.
Sorry,
chair of the committee
set me up on this.
So there are different recommendations for each of the programs here.
Any other quick directives? Any other questions? Roll call.
Yeah.
Yes.
Committee.
Yes.
Committee.
Answer.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Aye.
The Urban Drainage Way Program is for more comprehensive channel stabilization, a little longer distance, a little higher funding amount, and it comes with three different intensities. We had one based on the intensity of the type of project. We had one application from Sarpy County on Buffalo Creek next to Buffalo Road. The creek is very close and running parallel to Buffalo Road, running east and west. Sarpy has taken some steps to stabilize the creek to prevent damage to the road in the past, but those have been ineffective. So they are looking for a more permanent, long-term, comprehensive project. They're applying at level 3, which is a 40% cost share, the lowest level, meaning it's the least environmentally sensitive design. It's more stabilization to protect public infrastructure, in this case meaning the road. The project is very comprehensive. It's a kind of a shear face retaining wall, soilcrete. They kind of spray, or quickcrete rather, they spray the on the side of the wall and then use soil nails to hold both horizontally and vertically. And this is because it's so close to the road. So it is kind of a comprehensive project. $2.2 million is the total cost. 40% was the requested cost share. Based on our budget constraints that we expect this year due to other conditions, we ask that Sarpy participate in an interlocal that would spread this funding out over 3 years. So the total contribution would be $909,000 from the NRD out of the $2.2 million project, but spread over a three-year period. We've done that type of an interlocal in a couple different projects in the past. There's one more here, and that allows us a little bit more budget flexibility so we don't have quite as much of a single-year cost. But we still can help the local partner complete that project. And so this project is, again, to help protect Buffalo Road is the main function here, protecting public infrastructure. And we recommend approving this project with the understanding that an interlocal would come back in the future for board approval, and then we would budget $303,000 in each of the next three fiscal years.
Can we have a recommendation on this item?
So moved.
Got a motion?
Second.
Second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
So are we tying ourselves into 3 years, three times this number now?
That is correct on a multi-year project.
And we're tied in for...
And that, since the motion does always say subject to funding in the FY 2020 budget for each of the projects, in the case that we're going to do a larger kind of multi-year project, we want the local partner to have the assurance that we aren't going to unbudget in a future year and leave them kind of halfway through the project without without some of the funding that they were counting on.
What if we're short of cash?
Management would make a recommendation about something that we would do in a different case in the budget. And so
we take something from somebody else to pay this off then because we committed to it?
We would find a different, I guess, John, do you want to answer that?
We'd have to find a different, once you commit, then you can't, the first year would be the time if you don't want to do this to not fund it.
Right.
But once we make that commitment, then the project started, then you can't leave them in the lurch.
That's what I was wondering.
That's why there's kind of an upfront notification that there would be an interlocal. And so kind of similar to other projects that are multi-year, it does say once we start, we do expect and we agree that we will not remove funding.
And is this the only urban drainage wave program that applied for this? Were there others that were turned down and we accepted this?
No, there were no other applications this year. And I think that some of that is there were a couple recreation projects from Omaha, but none from Bellevue, none from Papillion. I think there are other things that are going on that the local partners are working on. So this is a lower number of total applications than we've received in the past. And compared to kind of a five-year average, this is a lower dollar amount of total projects. So no, we did not receive other applications. We might in the future. We've talked with Bellevue about a couple different locations, but their funding availability controls whether or not they apply because they do still have to make up a significant portion of the total cost. So this is the only one we've received on this program this year.
Director Weiss.
Is there a bridge down there somewhere that just had to get somewhat of a facelift this year because of that? There's a bridge down there somewhere off that creek. And my point is this, if you're going to stabilize the bank, you might end up with a problem right there where Buffalo Road crosses Highway 50.
So this is, I think, more like 192nd Street. It's quite a ways from Highway 50.
Okay, that's north?
Yeah.
Because the one in the south is it's bad, too. The one that runs parallel to Highway 50. I'm thinking that's the one you were talking about.
I think Springfield Creek runs by Highway 50 near Platteview Road. And there has been some stabilization work there in the past. But this one is further west near 192nd Street.
Okay, so I didn't know if you were, by doing this, if that was going to create a problem somewhere else. Yeah. Okay.
It shouldn't. The stream begins to pull away from the road and then goes under 192nd Street.
Okay.
There.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this question might be just a bit off subject, but maybe not, on the Urban Drainage Way Program. And since the historic flood that we had in the Papillion Creek was full to the brim, so forth, as I've been driving around the city, and taking a look to the left and right through some of the creek beds, lots of debris, trees and all kinds of things in there. If you've done an inspection or had time to do an inspection, do we foresee folks, applying for this particular program in the future?
So we did actually meet with the city of Omaha yesterday afternoon to talk about some different areas. They would be eligible to submit projects to FEMA just like we are, and so they have identified some areas where they are going to submit projects. But we did discuss that areas that are not critical infrastructure or a threat to safety that were just kind of ongoing erosion projects that they might apply in the future. We don't know what that looks like because the investigation of where damage has occurred is still going on. And so we are also looking at Little Papio, Big Papio, West Papio for potential other erosion situations. But so we don't know if there might be future applications because of this. We did tell Omaha that if it was clearly because of this specific event, the emergency declaration means that you should document that, and then FEMA does provide up to 75% reimbursement on those.
Right.
And so that would be the first avenue for immediate damage caused by this particular storm. I think that debris cleanup
and debris
is
removal
still
in, is part of is yeah. an eligible expense.
Okay. Yeah.
So that would not be to us. That would be an application, or I'm sorry, documentation and submittal to FEMA for their review.
Right.
So separate from what we have here, generally.
If you could, either John, for the new directors and refresher for the relatively new, all these subject to the budget. When I look at these, you can see $200,000 FY19. I don't know what we spent on that. You don't have to answer that. But then 303, that's a heck of an increase from one budget year to another, same in the next category. Could you kind of walk us through, or the new director's benefit, once these are concepts in a sense, and nothing's for sure until we approve the budget in August. So we can slash, cut, and by then we'll probably have a better idea where our money is going to be needed. Whether you get FEMA reimbursement or whatever. So try to put this in context as to what's down the road the rest of this year, in spite of the major event that we just went through, if you could.
Right. So these will be, if you approve these will be inserted in the budget accordingly. Then, again, these will be discussed 2, 3, 4 times. And at that time, we can see where we are in the budget. And if we have to, we can remove them. And the sponsors know that it's all subject to having the ability to pay. And so we can remove them. Sometimes we've gone to sponsors if they have more than one application and say, what is your priority? Say we can only do one or whatever. So we will ask them to pick who the winner, who the loser is. Now, historically, although these look higher than last year, I know we spent quite a bit more over the years in each one of these categories. So it may look a little blip this year, but historically, I think they're kind of down.
Yeah, last year's total cost share approved projects was about $660,000, but the 2 years before that, it was a little closer to $1.8 million.
Right.
And so last year was an unusually low total dollar expenditure, and this program in particular, we did approve a project with the City of Omaha and Thomas Creek, and they had a 3-year interlocal with a very low upfront cost. And so the total expenditure you highlighted, $200,000, it's going to be followed by the interlocal that we approved for $300,000 this year and next year. When they move from the design, the low cost, to the construction. If we could also discuss that with Sarpy as we talk about the interlocal, that if this particular budget year is more of a challenge for us, they need to go through some design process. So I think Sarpy is open to saying we would request $200,000 this year and then more in future years. They've expressed some flexibility here, and we do talk with the partner agencies from April through July when the first budget is submitted, and even up until September, to make sure that we aren't allocating funds right. that we don't expect
and
to see.
And that's a decision this board has come budget time.
Right.
So we can prove concept, but, you know, our mill levy, you know, and our so that is yet to come. Not saying that all these are valid and all that.
Right.
I'm not predicting that they are. Right. I'm just in perspective.
The fact is the 3-year commitment kind of bothers me, too.
Cause yeah, because
we can okay it this year, but then we're stuck for the next 2 years with it also. And we have so many things coming down the pipe. Why I don't know if we're wise to commit to 3 years of this or not at this point. We don't know what we're going to have to pay for.
I could mention, really, this step kind of
right.
Do these projects qualify under this program? Really, certainly dollars are there. Are they eligible for funding? Really, the question.
Well,
if they are, they're told, okay, you were approved eligible, but budget is coming, and that could knock you out completely,
okay.
Or it may be 3 years, maybe 8, 5, or it could be all month. Really, this is really focused on in this step.
Right.
Is this project one, this program good?
And in your opinion, it does because it's here.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
This one is pretty squarely in the middle of the reason that the program was created,
okay.
Protecting public infrastructure in a longer range of a creek that is seeing erosion.
Any other questions from directors? Roll call.
Minsky?
Yes.
Meester?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Minister?
Aye.
Next program is the Recreation Area Development Program. This one is less overall expenditure, very popular, and we do see a lot of the smaller communities participating in this program. The first one is an application from Bennington. They have a kind of a park just on the north side of the Big Papio Creek. They have some ball fields out there. They had a contribution of some land to become additional field space, and they are looking to expand that field space. In this program, and Dr. Begley, maybe this is going to cover your question, there are some different types of activities that are eligible and some that are not. And so we are recommending approval of these projects, but with the understanding by the applicants that when they submit their reimbursement request, only eligible activities will be considered for reimbursement. And we highlight that in this one that tree and brush clearing, as well as new planting, grading, seeding, those would be eligible activities, but there are other activities that would not be eligible. So costs related to playground equipment, for example, which is coming up, is not an eligible expense under this program. And so we make it clear to them that when you submit the reimbursement, you'll need to document the costs that are within the guidelines of the program. And a couple of the following projects are, will need to keep that in mind when they ask for the reimbursement. So this one does have costs that are within the guidelines of the program. The intention is to provide assistance to get people to come outside, participate in natural resources areas, enjoy recreation. So that's what this project is doing, is to encourage people to come out to the new fields and enjoy some of the recreation facilities that Bennington has been building over the years. The second project is from Fort Calhoun. They have kind of a comprehensive corridor. And Bill, can you pull this one up for me? I'm sorry, I don't have a page number, so you'll have to kind of jump down. It must be page 15 or so. Let's try that. Keep going. There's Buffalo. A couple more, please. There you go. Okay, this one, one or two more pages, please. One more. There you go. So this is kind of the first phase of a comprehensive park area that Fort Calhoun is working on. They've indicated several different types of amenities that they're going to be installing over the years. And so this is the first portion. This, again, there are costs that are eligible for reimbursement, and there are some that are not. And so we'll make it clear that only the eligible costs will be considered for reimbursement. So the dollar amount that's listed here, the $100,141, we do expect that some of the costs they had outlined in their application will not be eligible. Specifically, the playground equipment is not within the guidelines of the program, so we would ask that when they submit reimbursement, they do not include that. And so the cost on this one will probably be less than the $50,000 that they applied for, but we don't know what specifically that will be. So that's the recommendation now. Between now and the budget time, we will probably have a better idea from them, and we'll probably update and reduce that number in the budget. But this is the first phase of an attempt to construct kind of a natural resources area for people in the community to come outside and enjoy. The next project is from the Village of Homer. They had a current project with us at their ball fields to kind of upgrade those and make them more accessible to the community. And then adjacent to that, they have what they call their play park. And so this is to provide a new facility to make that play park more accommodating to members of the community. The village is extremely excited about this. So we do a lot of projects. The dollar amount here is relatively low, but a whole number of community members have been involved and are very excited about what we're providing to them. The project would not be going forward without our assistance. And so this is one of those that I'm very glad to see, because it demonstrates why we created these programs and the benefit that we bring to people in our communities by making this funding available to them. So the village is very excited about encouraging their residents to come outside and enjoy these natural resources at the park. The city of Omaha has two applications. The Dewey Dog Park is adjacent to Turner Boulevard. And Director Thompson, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the area there. Turner Boulevard and Dewey Park. And the city of Omaha is looking to construct a dog park in the existing park. This one, we have asked for clarification on the expenses. The total expected project cost is $456,000. So the maximum reimbursement is $50,000. And we are working to get more detail from the city of Omaha on what costs would be considered eligible and which costs would not be. So we expect that cost to come down. And as we move that into the budget, we think that will be lower, probably more like $35,000, I think is the $35,000 is the estimate. So we're working to make sure that we have only the eligible costs included when we put this in the budget. And that information is something we're working on getting an update for. The City of Omaha also applied for Flanagan Lake. They are doing some grading and constructing a new playground at Flanagan Lake to provide additional amenities for people to enjoy that facility, which we constructed and opened recently. And then the last project is from South Sioux City, the 25th Street Community Park Shelter. And they're looking to construct a new park in the area known as Old Tree Farm. And this would be to put up a shelter to kind of be the first amenity and encourage people to come out and enjoy the space as the facility continues to develop over time. So this is the, again, kind of the purpose of the program is to encourage people to come out and enjoy the natural resources. So we are recommending all six of these projects with the understanding to them that the reimbursable costs will be, we will ask for only the reimbursable costs to be documented when they ask for the money back. And we will update the project costs as we submit these in the budget when you see that in July. And we recommend all six of these projects under the Recreation Area Development Program.
Thanks, Eric. Can we have a motion on this?
So moved.
Second.
Second, directors?
Oh.
There?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the Homer Park improvement, is what county is Homer in?
That's in Dakota.
Dakota County.
Sorry.
That's okay. All right.
Check it out. Been there. We should go check it out sometime.
I've been there many times.
I forgot. Is anyone in the public who wishes to speak to this item? Thank you, directors. Larry spoke.
I'm finished. Yeah, it's just a short answer. Then I'll defer
my comments to Patty Bagley. Asked about the dog park.
I'm curious. It's a softball question for you. So the map you're showing, it's Harney on the north, and it says Fort Street. Is that? It's not Fort Street, is it?
No. Turner Boulevard.
And, yeah, I'm trying to get my bearing straight. So that would probably be Leavenworth Street. South side and then Hardy in the north.
Dewey.
So it's just a small area. It's Turner Park, right?
There's tennis courts Dewey. There.
Or Dewey Park. Yeah, that's Dewey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that was an easy question, right? All right. Thanks. Thank you.
Well, I'll clarify that because I'm intimately involved. And first of all, John Williams, I don't know if I've met him, but I am disgusted that he says it's going to increase the Midtown and Blackstone neighborhoods. This is in the heart of the Leavenworth Neighborhood Association. And Blackstone's six blocks away. I mean, they may walk their little doggies there. That's fine. But, you know, the Leavenworth Neighborhood Association, which we're trying to meet at that building right there until the city lets us meet, and that's a whole other story. But this is state-of-the-art dog park. If we can't find eligible costs for playground equipment for people, I don't know what the hell they're going to dream up what a dog needs that would be eligible. So I would seriously find that out. It's going to have artificial turf. It's going to have water running in it. It's going to be self-cleaning for the little puppies. And I love dogs. I don't have one currently. But we've got two other dog parks in Omaha, Heflinger and Hanscom Park. And they're not, this is going to be the Cadillac. And I'm all for the program itself, but as far as what it does, Omar, $50,000 or less, I seriously don't know. And I'm an advocate for it, but because I'm on this board with the dollars, I would need more.
So I did receive an update, and I didn't provide it yet because I got it late this afternoon. The John Williams submitted an updated application with the total estimated cost of eligible expenses at $69,737 and the cost share request at $34,868. So like I said, I got that this afternoon, I didn't get a chance to read that in detail, but eligible costs include grading, seeding, tree planting, the foundational stuff,
in the park. They're not going to try to plant any trees in the dog park itself.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
You're just reporting, and
I didn't get a chance to read that yet. I can take a deeper look, and we can discuss it on Thursday if you'd like.
I think so.
We asked for an update last
week. That's why we're creating a dog park. We don't want peeing on the trees.
Yeah, John Williams is a park planner. In the parks.
That's Fred's district, by the way.
No, that's his district, but keep it there. Larry?
Well, thank you. Well, just thinking of planting anything for pollinators again, so I'm all for that. And I remember I caught a 6-foot bull snake in Dewey Park one time in that hill where all those bushes were. That was a good wrestle. I had to wrestle that bull snake but as a kid. Now, I wouldn't do it now, but Homer. I mean, excuse me, I'm still stuck on Homer. But the Dewey Dog Park, just thinking, what are they going to do with that money? You know, plant. You're saying they're looking to plant trees? I mean, there's a lot of good trees around there already.
I can forward the email that John submitted this afternoon that has the description of what the eligible costs of the program, but I'm sorry we didn't have that update for this evening. But we can send that out tomorrow, and if you'd like to discuss it again on Thursday, you could make a motion to amend the recommendation based on one particular project, if you would like.
Thank you.
We got a motion and a second. Roll call.
Easter?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Pinsky?
Yes.
Chairman?
Hi.
The next program is the Trails Assistance Program. And this is to help construct recreation trails with local communities. The first one is from the city of Gretna, and it's called the Worspan Lake Trail, connecting from the north side of 370 through some neighborhoods that are developing in the area of Gretna and coming into Chaco Hills and Worspan Lake from the west side. This project, we wrote a letter of support for when they applied for federal funding. So the total expected cost of the project is $826,000 with 80% federal funding. And then we cost share on half of the local portion. So that means half of the 20%, 10%. So that's where the $82,000 cost on this one comes from. This would be a variety of different types of trail facilities, kind of at the side of the curb, new trails through neighborhoods. But basically connecting from northeast Gretna into Chaco Hills here. The second project is from the city of Omaha, referred to as the North Omaha Trail Project. And Bill, I'm sorry, I see some people looking at the screen. Can you move down to the location here of these projects? Probably 25 or so. I apologize that we weren't doing that all the way through. A couple more. We're still in recreation here. Okay, here you go. There's a map on the next page, I believe. Okay, so there's Highway 370, and then the trail is the solid and dotted line coming kind of up north and east, and then directly east and into Chaco Hills. And so we provide access to this facility to everybody who lives kind of in the neighborhoods that are developing along that corridor from Highway 6, roughly north of 370, all the way over and into Chaco Hills. The next project, the North Omaha Trail Project. Keep going. One or two more. Here you go. This is kind of running parallel on both sides of Highway 75. So in Dr. Connolly's district, there's an existing pedestrian bridge at Pratt Street. And there's some kind of land on both sides of the highway that is a good corridor for a trail in an area where there's not very many natural resources areas available for residents. And so the planning department is leading this project. This shows more of a comprehensive view of some additional work to the north and to the south. The portion that would be the dedicated trail separate from the street is kind of in the area from bullet number 2 down to the bottom by Lake Street there. And that's the portion that we asked them to discuss with them about applying for. Again, this is kind of a comprehensive corridor from Metropolitan Community College all the way down to the new North Omaha area. The middle section would be the trail. There would be some kind of other bike facilities on each end. And so if you go one more page, Bill. Here you can see the kind of regional view of where this, where the trail portion of this project would be located, parallel to and using the Highway 75 pedestrian bridge crossing at Pratt Street. This one, based on the cost and the expected timeline, we are also recommending to be a 2-year funded project, so $146,000 and then the same in the following year. That would allow the city the time to get the design finalized and get the construction done. And decrease the expenditure on our side for this particular project in this budget year.
The next project is from SID 503, which is Silverleaf, I believe is the name of it. And also, here you go, Silverleaf Estates. And they also refer to West Dodge Station, which I think is another neighborhood name out there. Essentially, this is parallel to the West Papio Creek. Here you go. You can see the railroad, old Lincoln Highway, and West Papio Creek are all kind of running east-west up there. And the trail is between the highway and the creek. We have talked with the engineer for the SID about the application. We asked them to apply for only the section of the trail that follows the West Papio Creek, which would become kind of the regional connector trail, and not the neighborhood portion down in kind of the center of the page, and not the bridge crossing the West Papio Creek over in the upper kind of left portion. You can see there's two lines, parallel lines, and that represents the abutments of the bridge. That is a very long bridge, 200 feet to span the floodway, a very expensive bridge, and so the overall cost of the project was extremely high. In order to bring down the cost of the project, we asked them only to apply for the trail portion, which would be, again, kind of the regional connection. This is designed to be part of the West Papio Trail from 168th Street all the way out to Elkhorn. This has been in the master plan with the City of Omaha for a number of years, and so we asked them to apply for the section that would be the regional portion and not the neighborhood portion. And they understood that. And so the dollar amount reflected here is only for the portion of the trail, not the neighborhood connection or the bridge. And then the last project is South Sioux City 29th Street Trail. South Sioux City has been doing a lot of work on the south side of town. There's a lot of new development happening. And this one is going to look very weird if you pull up the map on this one. Okay, so this is a multi-page thing running east and west here. This is we had partnered with them on an urban drainage way project through the center of this, and you can see what looks like kind of some water features and wetlands. And then running across and parallel is a trail network. On the north and south then are two streets. And so this is a very focused effort at bringing more natural resources into kind of the heart of a new development that they are working on and connecting down to the east to the Missouri River. So this is an application for the trail portion of the project after the urban drainage way portion has already been completed. It's an excellent project. Overall, it meets a lot of the kind of natural resources guidelines that we're usually looking to support. So the recommendation is to support these four projects. With the understanding that we would bring back an interlocal on the North Omaha Trail project to cover 2 years, fiscal 2020 and 2021, at a future time. And we would have more details about the financials in that specific project at that time, and to include the other three projects for funding in this fiscal year.
Thanks, Eric. We can have a recommendation.
I'll move for staff recommendation.
A motion.
Second.
And a second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to any of these items? Director?
A couple questions on the SID 503. You said it's going to be a connecting trail?
Yeah.
It will be now? Or it will connect something now? Or is it just going to be?
It doesn't yet. It will be a portion of kind of the regional trail along the north branch goes up to Flanagan. This is actually the West Papio Creek that goes west towards Elkhorn.
Right, but just this specific project, where does it go from where to where?
Bill, can you go back to the map on that one?
That was my question.
Yep. It's running parallel to maybe 50 or so.
So when this is done, it's just going to be a stretch of trail that doesn't connect to anything, correct?
At the time it's constructed initially, yes. And again, we do build some of the kind of regional trails in pieces. This one connects on the west to 192nd Street, and on the east it ties up and onto the Old Lincoln Highway at the Old Lincoln Highway Bridge over the creek.
Which is approximately where?
The black section there, 186th Street, maybe.
Okay. All right.
Further down to the east, the original discussion of this project did include going all the way down to 180th Street, but the reconstruction of 180th will include an underpass there, and so the SID decided not to build this down. People who might use this, Old Lincoln Highway is a relatively low traffic street.
Right.
And so they can jump back on the highway and ride on the highway once they get to that bridge over to 180th. But long term, there will be additional projects by the City of Omaha to the east and to the west, and by probably this SID to build that piece, the SID to the west to build the next piece. So it is a part of a regional trail, but we're not building the whole thing simultaneously.
There's no way to know when the rest of it will be completed, so it's all interconnected.
West of 192nd, there's development planned right now. You can see the bridge comes down and connects into some boulevard. I can't remember the name right now. That boulevard continues to the west, and the trail is being planned either parallel to the creek or parallel to the boulevard as that development is going in. And so the next piece from 192nd to 204th is kind of in process right now, but it should be relatively soon.
Okay, thank you.
The North Omaha Trail Bicycle Highway. We've been doing trails for a long time. I'm a trail advocate. What bothers me in Cummings Street, or North Cummings Street, they got a segment that we already have the trail down Burke Street. And at, I don't know where that is.
I'm sorry, the other direction. One more.
It's North Omaha Trail.
There you go. So, yeah.
The dotted line, which is Creighton University and then the dotted line,
yep.
There's a solid line, and I don't know if that solid line is supposed to represent the existing trail or not, but I'm all for making trails.
You talking about this one here, Jim?
Yes, the east-west, yes. That is representing the existing Burke Street trail connection that we had partnered on. So this is just showing the kind of regional connectivity of different types of recreation active transportation facilities.
Well, again, I'm not saying I'm an expert on where the streets are in this, but generally speaking, if we have a trail already, why would we build additional east-west trails? Unless that serves a different function on the other side of Cummings Street. I don't know. I just don't want to be in a position that the author of this doesn't know what we have already. You know, yep. I know the new apps are coming out and all that, and that will put solid lines where dotted lines were, and that's good. But it's recognized what we have first before we. He could have also, and I guess that in the context map that does show the existing Turner Boulevard Trail going up to Burt. But this little silly thing doesn't, so I hope they understand that is what I mean.
Yeah, so this project is only the area over here. This is, again, just kind of additional connectivity of recreational features in the area. This piece right here I don't know very much about, but Cummings Street is kind of a big barrier. If you were walking or jogging or anything, Cummings Street would be a kind of a big division. That's why Burke Street on the south and a parallel, I think this might be Nicholas Street.
Well, it's 24th, and that's probably a good part.
Up and down here.
Great place to start heading north.
Yeah, and so I think the idea is to connect to the kind of 24th Street historic corridor right over here on the west. And so, again, those are future projects. The portion of the pink is the only portion that we're talking about at this time.
I get it all the time, I'm sure you do, or the planning department puts a road or a sharrow down the road, or the parks department puts a trail on the green space.
Yep.
We need to focus in on that. You know that as well.
Yep, we meet with both every month to make sure that we're all on the same page, so that we have maximum utilization of the facilities.
Thank you. Any more questions? Roll call.
Calder?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lipinski?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And that completes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Time is 7:53. We'll call the FEL subcommittee in order. Notification of the Open Meeting Act is posted in the back of the room in the hallway with that forum call.
Bradley?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes. Here.
McCormick?
Here.
Reese?
Here.
Here. Adoption agenda.
So move.
The second?
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Bradley?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Enter.
Yes. I have before me proof of publication of the meeting notice. Item 6, review the recommendation of attorney fees for Missouri River Levy Certification. Account number is 0103-560-4392, over 110%. Paul, good evening.
Good evening.
Quick one, this one, we were here a couple months ago to go over the land rights amount and budgeted. We undershot that as well. So this one is similar in nature. We've gotten to right at the 110% level for the budget amounts for the attorney fees. Most of the land rights are completed except the couple properties that did go through the condemnation process have or may be filing, going through with an official appeal here. So there may be additional costs that we run into over the next few months, ranging up to maybe around $60,000. So we're looking to bump this budget from $120,000 to
$190,000. Any director have any comments, questions?
Question. Hey, Paul, is this a common thing where these budgets run over like that?
We try not to make it a common
thing. Understood, but is it an issue with having challenges with the people that you're trying to negotiate with, or what's driving it?
Yeah, in this thing, this instance, I think it kind of goes hand in hand with the amount of properties we were dealing with, focusing most of them, all of them in this budget year. So, yeah, you know, going into this time last year when we were budgeting for this amount, I don't think we quite understood all the intricacies or things we'd run into. So,
okay.
Sometimes it's like a scoping issue where you're just not sure all the different things you're going to have to do.
It's a budget, so it's not an exact science of what you're saying.
Yeah.
And there were some issues, too, with dealing with Offutt Air Force Base. Anytime you deal with the federal government, that's always time-consuming and expensive. And then also a couple of the landowners were difficult to respond and get a hold of.
I guess that was my question. Is it some challenges with some landowners that drive it as well?
Big challenges.
Okay, understood.
To say the least.
And Brent's here to account for anything. Yeah.
He's not over there. Yeah.
Can we get a motion on the floor, please?
A motion. Second. Yeah. Recommendation.
Second. Does anybody in the general public have any comments? Staff, directors?
I don't remember exactly where they're at, but this has to be underwater probably right now where these areas are at. So my question is the problem going to be over? I mean,
we need a few properties left. And so the ones that went through condemnation, we have rights to the project.
But are they going to give up and say, okay, well, we're flooded?
I don't think they're going to give up. They're going to try to give up.
Okay.
Yeah, one of these
possible. Okay, this dollar we're looking at, is that just to get us even?
No, what we spent is the $131,000 to date.
Yeah, but you're asking for some more to go up to $190,000?
Mm-hmm. That would be just to cover the next few months until June.
Okay, do we have any kind of an estimate of what we think? Is this pretty accurate?
I would say that's
high.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I just don't want to go back to the well.
No. We looked at the previous invoices by month and said, well, this would probably be on the high side.
Any further comments? Seeing none, roll call.
Yes.
Please?
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you. Item 7, review and recommendation of maintenance channels and levies, maintenance materials account 01035914477, over 110%. Martin, good evening.
Thank you. This budget item is used for maintenance materials for levies and channels. The district has about 100 miles of levies. The budget this year was $161,000. As of the start of March, was $88,000 had been expended out of this fund. Unfortunately, the March flood occurred, and my budget was blown out of the water, so to speak. The big expense here that's occurred in March is that we have cost share with the Corps of Engineers to repair the Union Dyke breach. And so district share of that cost is basically providing sand and gravel for the fill the breach in. And that cost is $315,000 paid to Western Sand and Gravel, so that's the actual vendor who provided the sand. So as a result of that, we're up to $409,000, which is 254% of the budget estimate. So we're way over budget, obviously, due to the flood event that occurred. We still anticipate some expenses this fiscal year. We're not done with the year yet. We probably have a few months left, so we think maybe $150,000 on top of what we've already spent is probably adequate to get us through the end of the year without coming back to you again to ask for more money. This money will be, there is adequate funds in the contract side of channels to pay for this cost. So we've actually got $2 million so far in the contract side. So that money can be used to offset this expense. So there is money in the budget, overall budget, in the same category even of channels. But that's kind of an overview. I'll be happy to explain any more details you have on this question.
Yes. How much of this money could possibly fall underneath the disaster relief?
Under this money is actually the district's cost share. The Corps of Engineers actually did the work on Union Dyke, about $1 million project. And so the district has to provide 20% of the cost. So actually this is a little more than 20%, but there's this additional cost to be put on the additional rehab we're going to do on the project. There's additional rehab needed on Union Dyke. Again, another 80-20 project, probably several $1 million worth of effort. And so district has to pay 20% up front. In this case, what the Corps did is they said you provide the in-kind materials in lieu of providing 20% of the cost. So that's what happened.
But we wouldn't have had to have done this if we wouldn't have had the flood, though, correct?
Right. This wouldn't have occurred.
So my question is, why can't we get a free pass here a little bit and say, okay, somebody help us out?
Well, from FEMA or something like that?
150
that may the additional
150.
Right. Okay, but not the 350. We certainly will seek FEMA money for anything we can. Any little bit helps.
Yes.
That's our plan.
75, 25,
yeah.
Any further questions?
I move that we go staff recommendation.
Okay. Thank you.
Comments from general public? Absent. Rushes?
Yes,
sir. Let's see, roll call.
Meese?
Yes.
Beckley?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Comment?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
That concludes my meeting, Mr. Chairman.
If the